This is a Stand Up New York Labs production, providing you podcasts since 2013.
Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
1, 2, 1, 2. Yeah, we are here. This is In the Conversation. I'm Damian Lemon.
And I'm Ali Muhammad.
We introduced the pod already. What's good, man?
This is In the Conversation, the podcast.
The podcast that you're listening to or you're viewing.
Yeah, I mean.
You know what I mean? Yeah, if you're Word here up. For the first time, welcome. If you're here again, good to see you. You know, click the
what
subscribe
if,
button.
What if they are here for the first time?
Welcome.
What does that mean? What should they know?
They know to strap in and sit here and listen to us talk premier shit.
Bird up. I'm saying this is the funny man, Damian Lemon.
Thank you. This is the professional storyteller, Ali Muhammad.
Bird up.
Look
so
at
now
the
they all caught up.
There you go. How about that? Is that all they need? That's the short?
I mean, that's the short. They find out the rest in the middle
right.
of the shit. You know what I mean?
Oh, shit, man. What's going on? How you doing, brother?
I'm doing great, man. it's hot out here. Yeah, summertime done hit suddenly.
We in summer.
As they say in the literary stories, suddenly.
Suddenly.
Yeah. Last night, it was cool. It was like when I walked in the house yesterday evening, it was cool. It was like, you know,
right.
a good 79-80.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? The
respectable.
Sun was out. You know, there was no clouds. You know what I'm saying? The humidity was nice.
Mm.
And then somewhere late in the night, around about 1 o'clock, it rained.
Mm-hmm.
And it got hot as shit.
Mm.
And I'm off guard.
Like Louisiana hot.
Because my air conditioner's not in.
Yeah.
You know, the kids.
Oh, it's not in.
I don't have my HVAC situation set up yet.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
All right.
So the kids got the fans in their room just being blowing on themselves, which that's not how the fan's supposed to work. You know, because we live in New York. You know what I'm saying? You don't get a whole lot of hot weather.
Okay.
So you working with the in the window air conditioners.
Oh, the box joint.
Yeah, the box joints. And then so I devised a system to where I put one AC in the window in the back, one AC in the window in the front,
uh-huh.
and then I put two fans in the middle blowing this cross ventilation through the top floor where we sleep.
Uh-huh.
And it all works out. You could get a nice little, you know what I'm saying, temperature, you know what I mean, nice little climate control. But you had to have that shit set up. That sudden fucking heat.
Caught you slipping.
I was slipping. I couldn't sleep. I was like, this is terrible. You know what I'm saying? This is real bad.
So what's up?
I had to get up to pace the flow, and I didn't want to go snatch up. I would have had to go snatch the AC out the closet and do it. So I was like, I can't do that right now.
It was too hot to be doing that type
hot.
Of thing?
I was
okay.
like, this is terrible. I had to go just jump in the shower.
You know what I'm saying? The original AC.
You know what I'm saying? Let me get the, whoo. Came back, let the air dry, and then I felt cool.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I was like, all right, I could at least get to sleep.
Okay. So you still got to put the ACs in, though?
Oh, no, that's already done, dog.
Oh, you did that?
I woke up on a mission. This is not happening to me.
Okay.
You're not catching me with the Louisiana heat.
How long did it take you to put the ACs in?
I mean, I put it in just a few seconds, a few minutes, really.
Okay.
But it's you got to go get it out of the closet. I mean, you got to move shit that's on top of it.
Right.
You know, this is like a production. It's like breaking out, you know what I'm saying, the winter collection.
It's the whole turnover.
Yeah, it's a turnover.
It's
so,
a thing.
You know what I'm saying?
Christmas tree.
Exactly. Like, you got to go get the shit and put it together. And I just hadn't done it. And at 1 in the morning, that wasn't finna happen.
I went and grabbed the AC. Well, let me keep the AC in the chamber. We don't got enough room to just.
You don't never take it out.
Nah, that shit stay where it's been, and it go through a lot of abuse.
Right.
Because they
so
did
what
some
you doing
shit.
The winter when the shit get cold out there and shit?
Oh, we just grab an extra blanket. Nigga, that's what you do. That shit is still AC. It's still cold to the motherfucker.
Y'all must not pay the gas separately, the heat separately from your shit.
Nah, it's all. Is it, look. Yeah, well, let's not get into all of that.
See,
right
but
now.
I'm just saying, when you paying the gas bill from the furnace for the whole building, you be paying attention. Cause that
now,
shit,
we do the con ad.
Yeah, see, that shit will hit your ass.
We do the con, but anyway.
Oh, hold on now. No, this is terrible. What
Yeah, brother. It's all right. All right, we back. All right, so now, but my shit is, so I got the AC in there. Had it in there the entire year.
Mm-hmm.
Then when I put the shit on, first of all, I forgot to clean the filters. Did you clean your filter?
Of course.
Okay,
that's
see,
part
I
put, of the process.
Yeah, I didn't. I just I didn't even think about the process. It got hot. I turned the AC on. That's the process that I know.
Right.
So then that shit smelled ridiculous.
And it didn't get that cold.
It ain't got cold enough. But then I did my filters. But I think we at the time where we might need some new ACs. And right. I think the part of the problem was we did leave the AC in the, you know, in the window throughout the year. Mm-hmm. And during the year, they was fixing the apartment. And, you know, shit fall on the AC. And I think it might have fucked it up. But I don't know if we got a good enough case to go. You know what I mean? That's some real people's court shit over some small. But, you know, part of it, I'm going to be honest with you. It's not about the payout. It's the principle. Right. So there's part
so
of
you
me.
Think, you think the construction fucked up your
I
AC
think
that
you I
left
remember,
in the window all year?
Obviously, it starts with my negligence. We understand that. But unfortunately, my AC was out there unprotected. And I remember one moment being in the room and I heard some shit, boom, hit my AC. And I was like, damn. You know, it feels like it's one of the moments. So you look out the car, you see a motherfucker parking, and your car is right there. Mm-hmm. And you could just feel every moment, and they getting closer and closer to your car, and they about to tap the fuck out of your bumper.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing you can do because you're outside the car.
Right.
You're in the window. Right. You know what I mean? It was just one of the moments. But anyway, long story short, I got to get some new ACs. I think we're going to turn over a whole new leaf.
And, get the portables?
No. The portables.
Still going to get the window joints.
Yeah, get the window pieces. Get some new window pieces because they still going to live. I mean, these are time for them to be replaced. It's not just what was going on outside. I just think that they've come to, like anything, they you know, you've done a few summers.
Yeah,
this a tour.
It's
like, you know what I mean?
You ever tried the portables?
I did. I used to live on the first floor. So I used to call my AC Pop, portable AC.
So what's your thoughts on those? Because I never used them and they was always intriguing. But I've never...
They good. They work. They're just big as fuck. It's a big ass air conditioner inside your house. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's big as fuck. It's almost like a little baby dresser. You know what I mean? Like it looks like a computer.
Not that big no more.
It looked like my shit looked like a computer from the '70s. It looked like an old mainframe
right,
ass
okay,
shit.
Right, right.
You hold
that.
The
yeah,
shit.
That's
and it's got
that's
the little
right.
HVAC ass vent.
Right.
And you put it in your thing and it blows outside.
Right.
That shit does what it needs to do. Okay. It gets you cool, but it's just...
It's big.
It's big as fuck. You're going to have to make way for it, you right, know? Right, but right. That's first floor living.
Right, right.
If you don't live in the first floor, I would say go put your shit through in the window. Just put it in the window.
Why you said that?
It's one, it takes up less space.
Mm-hmm.
And I do feel like, not to say that the portable AC wasn't... It wasn't as effective. But I don't think it's been a while since I had it.
Mm-hmm.
A portable AC, it's just, I'm telling you, especially if you live in an apartment or you got space concerns, get that big ass AC out of there. Cause that shit is literally like, it's like a toddler standing in front of the window.
Right, right.
Yeah, you don't need
that. But see, for me, as a, you know, as a building owner,
mm-hmm.
the window AC drip.
Onto the street.
No, it drips onto your building. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
and then now you starting to see, you know.
Oh, but
saying?
That should have, the portable AC would do a little under drip and it fuck up your wood.
Yeah, but you could put some
wood
under
is
that.
Cheaper than outside.
Wood is cheaper than limestone. You know what I'm right. saying? You're not finna recreate 1902 limestone facade.
Like that.
You know what I'm saying? After you done dripped it to death.
I never thought about that. So what do people typically do that have your situation?
I mean, if you really detailed about
air?
Your shit, you get the little tube to run the water down and out. But from the third floor, that's not going to work.
Why not? Was
because then this is not where you're gonna run the tube. Are you gonna drop the tube down in front of your house, or are you gonna staple it to your facade?
How you, it's like when you mount a flat screen.
Yeah, and you like got the, you know what I'm saying. So what you gonna do? So I was thinking on the third floor, get the portable joint, so I don't have the drip problem.
Right.
And then, and obviously on the first floor, because I had never even had AC on the first floor.
How significant is the drip? Does it fuck your shit up crazy
it's
like that?
It's not significant, but water is a beast. You know what I'm saying? Water is undefeated. You know what I'm saying?
No doubt.
So year after year, you don't want the water, the drip. You know, you don't want Chinese water drip your building.
Have you, because I've never, this is a specific situation, and obviously you speak to this community. Mm-hmm. Now, being somebody that is a homeowner where your facade can be in danger of AC drip, when you walk the streets of Bedford-Stuyvesant, how many facades do you see defaced by AC drip?
I see a lot of them.
What's the percentage?
Where I don't know the percentage, but every time I see a little water drip defacement, I get a
it
little.
It look disgusting?
No, it's just a tingling in your body. Like, you got to change your ways.
I got to look for this shit.
The difference is limestone is a lot more durable than brownstone with water. Limestone is actually a natural water filter.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But you have these, you know, the intricate designs and shit that's on your limestone that you don't want to fuck up. Brownstone is a lot softer. Mm-hmm. So you see a lot more brownstone defacement from water and, you know, the water drip. But a lot of times, you know, a lot of people live in the brownstone may rent and just throw the shit in the front. Don't, you know what I'm saying? Don't really care. But when it's your shit and you might care a little bit, you start thinking, what's the alternative to water dripping my facade?
Right.
You know what I mean? Portable, and that's why I was looking at the portables to, you know what I'm saying, because that may solve my problem.
Mm.
But you say it works, so that's all really.
Oh, they get you cool.
That's really
it'll get
all
you
I
cool. As long as you don't, I mean, if space is not a concern, you fine. If you about space, I always say go in the window, but then I'm talking as a renter.
Right.
So I don't give a fuck about the facade. All about the interior.
Yeah, that Chinese water drip.
I'm gonna look for that now.
Water, man. Water will fuck your shit up. Water is the greatest fucking threat to your house. If you ain't got termites and shit, water is your worst enemy if you don't keep that shit under control.
I can see that. Just the drip somewhere inside.
Drips, leaks, all that shit. You know what I'm saying? That's what this whole shit is about. Keeping that water out. Once the water in,
it's a wrap.
Water know what to do, tear shit up.
Yeah. Ah, well, there you go. That was for the people that.
You know what I'm saying? That's the Home
about.
Depot crowd. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Lowe's. You know what I mean?
Shout out to if you suffer from facade wear, AC drip. If you have been affected, please speak to us in the comments. Let us know because we want to let you know that we see you.
You know what I'm saying?
You know what
and
I mean?
There's people that live in other cities, and it might not be about the stone, but you see that water drip on the side of the building.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
You see that water drip.
And then the other thing is the water drip at the bottom where it drips, where it falls.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, that shit creates a little puddle, which creates a motherfucking mosquitoes. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot. You know what I'm saying? It's like little animals come to drink that water and shit. You just too much little shit be going on with the little AC drip.
Damn. Shit. Well, I'm going to still enjoy this summer, though. You going to enjoy this summer? Let's have a good
too.
Summer,
I'm just telling you, that's why I was asking you.
That's real
not
shit.
Not to convince you. I was just wanting to see your opinion on the portables because I think it may solve those little issues that I see.
Mm.
You heard?
That's good.
Bird. What's up with you?
Man, what is up with me? I'm chilling, dude. I'm just trying to learn new shit, man, evolving, staying in the moment. Yeah, man, that's it. Just I'm out here. I'm back. Did a bunch of shows this weekend. back just active, heavy, you know, show after show in the world.
You putting in that work.
Yeah, building some new shit. Having a good time, being in the community. It's been a minute since, you know, I was just... I'm always on stage, but just there's a point where you got to up your frequency a little bit. And
that's where you at?
Yeah, I'm feeling that. I'm feeling that type of way. So it's good. It's good. It's just we're at the beginning of that. You know what I mean? It's like, cool. And I'm trying to, and I'm going all over too. Because the thing is, you could get caught up in going to your spots that, you know, that you get booked at. Not even that's comfortable, but where you get booked at. But sometimes part of the game is, you know, planting seeds on every level forever. So, you know, and then go over there. Let the people see your face. Speak to the people. Get into the community of people. That's where I'm at, you know. Okay. It's good time. Good, you know, summer does that too because it'd be it's so bright outside.
You working on something in particular or you just
yeah,
you
know? Man. I'm working on everything. I'm working on me.
Okay.
How about that old Ayanla Van Zandt ass nigga? No, I'm doing
you
that.
You sound like a nigga from Miami.
Wow, I'm working
you
on me.
You asked a nigga from Miami a question, they never answered it.
Nah, I answered it. I gave you a broad.
Where you been? Man, I've been out here, dog. You know what I'm saying? I'm out here, you know what I'm saying, doing my thing.
Yeah, you know how that
is. Where you going, man? Shit, I'm going to be over there.
Real specific general shit.
You know what I'm saying?
You know where I be. I be where I'm at. You know what I'm saying? I'm at where I am.
Mind your business, nigga. You know what the fuck going on.
Nah,
over here.
Man, just I just be leaning in. Just being in this shit. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you know, it's just all in, you know, like this, I think I withdrew a little while for a bit.
Withdrew from?
Just from a lot of shit. Just from, like maybe from the stage, not even. I get up, but I wasn't like all, I wasn't compulsive with it. You know, there's times where you just, it's one of those things. It's just one of those things. Sometimes you feel like you got more to say than other times. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you feel like, yo, let me be still for a minute and see what's what. Then sometimes you just like, I got to be out there. I got to be shooting this jumper. I got to be in the,
you're in the gym.
Yeah, I got to be in the gym. I was listening to this podcast, The Sporkful. It's one of these podcasts I listen to. And this cat was interviewing this dude. I don't know. He was at a hot dog stand. I forget what hot dog stand, but the shit been there for about at least 60 years.
Mm-hmm.
Great hot dog, supposedly. And this guy had been working there all his time. And he said the dude to the reporter, he was like, look, I'd rather wear out than rust out. And I felt that shit. You know what I mean? Because it's just like, if you don't do what you do for a bit, you could get a little out of the groove.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So you might as well just let the groove be what it is. Just stay in the groove. You know what I mean? You don't got to get ready if you stay ready, right? Or if you just stay in there and you just, the longer you stay away, sometimes you could get anxious because you've been away. Right. And that don't even matter. It doesn't even pertain to the task at hand. It could be everything around that.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, if you work at an office and you haven't been in for a while, you might still know how to do the job well, but you haven't been, the office life shit is different.
Right.
You might be a little awkward around the water cooler.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Your references is off.
Right.
You know what I mean? You don't know the new person at HR. You know what I'm saying?
I don't. That's you know. You know what I'm saying? That's me looking at, sometimes I'll be on LinkedIn and shit. Let me see what's out here in the world.
Right.
Not that I'm going to apply. I just want to see. And
right.
You start reading the description, you'd be like,
this
ain't going to never happen.
Yeah.
I ain't going to never get caught up on the office life because I done been gone so long, I can't even see it.
Can't even acclimate.
You will work with other team leaders. Oh, no, this is not. Nope.
Well, I'm talking about places. No, true indeed. I'm talking about places where you want to be.
Right.
So if you want to be there.
No, I get it.
You there, the more you are of that community.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And, you know, just being out. It was, I did a bunch of shows, but I was at Skank Fest. I told you, it's a festival, right? It's my second year there. Shout out to Legion of Skanks. Skank Fest is a festival based on the Legion of Skanks podcast. They call themselves the most offensive podcast in the world or whatever. So they let you know.
Skank as in what?
Skank as in they call themselves the Skanks. Not skank as in what you would assume the regular skank definition is.
Okay,
you know what I mean? This is more like, that's how they brand themselves.
Right.
They wild, they just whatever. It's Big J. Okerson, Luis Gomez, Dave Smith. I believe that's the key three. There might be a little bit more, but Lewis and Jay, whatever. But so they put together a comedy fest. There's a bunch of comedy fests going on. Not a bunch, but there were a couple comedy fests. There was one in San Francisco, Clusterfest, that was going on, and it was Skankfest in New York. And at most festivals, there's a it's a bunch of comedians, some of the greatest comedians, a lot of great comedians on the lineup everywhere from fucking, who was there? Everybody, all types of, all the great New York comics, Michael Che, Dan Soder, Joe List, Yamanika. Shout out to Yamanika. She just put out a new comedy album called Damsel in Distress. It's funny too. I checked it out. But just all the comics that were there. Just, you know what I mean? And you are amongst, it's in one, it was at Brooklyn Bazaar, so it was in one venue. So just like any other festival, you amongst not only the festival goes, but you amongst your peers.
Right.
And there's shows going on all the time. And it was like, you know, like most festivals, it's fully immersive. It's comedy everywhere. You know what I mean? Oh, shit, I ain't seen this cat in a minute, or it's been a minute since da-da-da-da-da, whatever, whatever. People that love comedy and peers that you fuck with or you haven't seen in a while and whatever, whatever. And, you know, you just, I had a moment where I was like, I fuck with this community. This is what I always wanted to do. You know what I'm saying? It was one of those things where it was like, it was reaffirming, like, yo, this is, I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to be a part of it. You know, there was parts of me that, because I haven't been on stage like night after night after night after night. So you kind of like, you know, I'm about to be out here in front of all these people. I want to still, I want my jumper to still click. Right, you feel me? And then it's just like, stay in the mix. Stay close. Stay there. Right. Be in the moment, because it's still, you realize when you're there why you always wanted to be there. Right. You know what I'm saying? So it's one of those things.
Like the BET Awards for comedians.
It's one of them. It's one of them. It felt, you know what? It felt more like, honestly, in the way of just landscape and layout, it felt, well, you can say BET Awards. Shout out to the BET Awards, I guess.
I mean, it's just your peers all in one place. No, but
It felt like the Ozone Awards. Word. In the way that where it was
shout
like.
Shout out Julia Beverly.
And TJ Chapman and everybody else.
TJ,
you know,
and them.
Just being there slapping hands with your peers, y'all all on site.
Right.
It wasn't sprawling. You know what I'm saying? Like, obviously, BET Awards is a celebration, but that shit takes over Los Angeles.
Right.
This shit was at Brooklyn Bazaar, one venue. All fans, all comics, you know what I'm saying? Like, there ain't no, you know, you can't avoid each other. Y'all in the mix.
I get it.
You all in the boat together.
That's what's up. Yeah, that's like, you know what I'm saying? That's like the real squad. Like, we out here.
Right. We in the midst.
We comedians.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was a good time. Felt good. And then, you know, just to just be out and jump on different stages. So I'm about to, after this, I'm going to run around the city and, you know, pop into certain places, see what's. Maybe I jump up here, say what up.
I'm out here, man.
Yeah, I'm still in the game,
man. That's what's up, man. Congratulations, man.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
You know what I'm saying? I'm sure your audience appreciates you, you know what I'm saying, touching down on the ground.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Making shit happen.
Yeah, man.
Word up.
What's up with you?
Man, I'm in the hunt, goddammit. I'm in the wild. Mm-hmm. I'm being hunted. You know what I'm saying? I'm hunting and being hunted.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Predatory business practices out here. All that shit.
Really? That sounds aggressive.
We talked about it on the last episode. You know what I'm saying? You fighting against
coming for your plate.
Yeah. You fighting against big corporations for your little slice. You know what I'm saying? You just you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So you had to learn that language. You had to learn how to square up against major threats to your livelihood. You know what I mean? But, you know, other than that, fuck all that. You know what I'm saying? I was out and about this weekend. You know what I'm saying? They had an African Chop House. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Stanley Lumax, who founded African Chop House, which is, you know, people of African heritage, you know what I'm saying, coming together, celebrating that heritage and eating over food. So
steaks?
Not steaks, but different kind of whatever, like, you know what I'm saying? This one was in particular, they partnered with some East Africans to do it. So it was kind of like you had your typical, you know, saying Nigerian, Ghana, Ghanaian, okay. Wow. But then you also had your Ethiopian and Eritrean food.
Right.
So it was dope, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, Africa is having a big wave right now. You know what I'm saying? Through music, through culture, Pan-Africanism is, you know what I'm saying, is a big conversation where people from the continent and people here in America are having that dialogue that wasn't there before.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it's a interesting thing to watch because, you know, you could always, like when a certain sector of the community have their wave, you could see it. You could see it in their energy. You could see it in their whole glow.
They winning.
You know what I'm saying? That it feels like winning. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like you being recognized, you're recognizing yourselves amongst yourselves.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's the biggest part. A lot of times you might see something being recognized, but if you don't recognize it within your own little group, then you still feel isolated. But when your group is recognizing itself, then there's a collective energy that's glowing. And it's always good to be in that mix, you know what I'm saying? Because you might have been, you know what I'm saying? We've done it through music, through different forms, like when Atlanta had their wave, when their wave first started popping, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You and Philly had their wave. It's just like being in the mix of a wave always feels good, you know what I'm saying? And it's always opportunities that come in, there's always good conversations that come out of that, and there's always a way to, you know, expand what you're doing because the conversation is expanding. So African Chop House, it was, you know what I'm saying, it was pretty dope. It was on the rooftop.
What y'all talking about? What's the conversation?
In Harlem. The conversation is just how do we go from here? And which ways do we take it from here? And for me, that's always interesting because my whole deal in life and in what I do is being able to understand, oh, that's that fits with this.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, you talking about that? Oh, I could put that together here, which always, you know what I'm saying, that makes you a connector. That opens up opportunities for you to insert yourself into the wave. And this particular wave, the African wave, you know what I'm saying, it's Cat Efe from Atlanta. He has been trying to put that together. What's happening now, he was talking about in 2005 and 4, you know what I'm saying? So we was in Atlanta sitting there. He was talking about the plan of putting it all together, and he's very instrumental in that shit actually happening. So, you know what I'm saying? He had Red One, who was a producer, who did all of
G-Unit shit, right?
Not G-Unit. What's the girl? Pop. Wear the meat dress.
Lady Gaga.
He did the whole Lady Gaga first album, but he from Morocco.
That's what's up. Lady Gaga just did the Apollo just the other night. Ain't that dope?
You know what I'm saying? So he was managing Red One, put that together because he real cool with Akon, real African shit. You know what I'm saying? But then he had another artist, another producer, Parker Igele, who he brought to America, signed to, he was signed to Nicki Minaj.
Okay.
And so he started, that's when he started inserting those Afrobeat beats with Nicki. He put some on Rihanna's album. And that's when it started to really circulate and cross-pollinate. So he's been in the mix of that shit. So to see it all come together, it also puts me in a position to be able to tap into it at a place from a real authentic place. Because
the way back.
Yeah, because F.A. is managing, I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's Davido.
Okay, yeah,
you know
yeah, yeah.
He
yeah,
manages
yeah,
Davido.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. He plays a big part in the Nigerian music scene.
Right.
Which, you know, now you can look at it like, oh, you talking about that, then we could put it with this and these people.
Right.
And you know what I'm saying? So it's an interesting conversation. A real pan-African global conversation that could be happening, which opens up new doors and new opportunities and new ideas for yourself. Hmm. You know what I'm saying? So where you thinking the playing field is this, now the playing field is that. And that's beautiful, especially when it's all black.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So that's how, you know, a party ends up turning into a global conversation.
Right.
You know
that's
what I mean?
Big.
Which I guess that's what it's meant to be. And I love it. And I'm in the middle of it, and I'm trying to make something happen. I ain't made shit happen yet. But, you know what I'm saying? That's what it's all. That's what you get up to do.
No,
put shit
you.
Together.
I hear that shit. I got to get to Africa, man. I feel like the last, I mean yeah, you know, man, I got to, I hate talking about, I got to get there at some point, you know. Yeah, I got
to. Where would you go? What's your first place?
I don't know. I don't know. I really don't know. My homie, my best friend, he go to Nigeria all the time.
You so, said he go to that shit like it's Atlanta.
Yeah. So he, and he be talking like, yo, you need to, like, come through. You know what I'm saying? This shit is live out here. So there's that. There's that. There's part of it. I still want to see the, you know, on some tourist shit. I still want to see the pyramids. Because you got to remember, right, the pyramids is in Africa, too. They kind of make it seem like.
You know, they try to separate it.
Right.
But it's, you know, it's Africa.
I want to go to any of them. I mean, I really have no, that's, I mean, I really have no preference. I just want to touch down. Right. Just so I'm like, all right, I'm here. Let me see what's what. I don't know. You know, obviously, I want to go to where it's good. You know what I'm saying? Safe. Where shit is, where it's safe. Where it's safe. Where I can Instagram. You know, with no peril. I don't
want to touch down in Sudan right now.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, I don't even want to make light of the whole situation.
It ain't light at all.
No, I'm saying, obviously, I don't want to touch down in there, but I don't even, you know.
It ain't light by no stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, I don't, but I'm, my thing is, I don't even, I have to brief myself on everything that's going on. I see there's a lot of upheaval right now, and shit is getting hectic. But yeah, I don't want to get too deep in that water because I don't know enough.
Nah, no doubt, no doubt. So I mean, for me,
where do you want to go?
I definitely got to hit the West African, you know, saying Nigeria, Ghana side of things, because that's, you know, saying that's pretty much where, you know, saying
what's popping right now.
A lot of us is from, you know, saying that region. But you know, saying, at least from my little DNA sector, you know, Congo, Nigeria, Ghana, Togo.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, my good friend Tabby Bonet is from Togo.
Okay.
He got a little coffee situation.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Out there. So I would like to see that.
That's hard.
But then I know a lot. Over the past couple of years, I've met a lot of people from South Africa. Mm-hmm. Which everybody, every time you say you want to go to South Africa, I don't go there first.
They say that's like the hype beast spot, right?
Well, it's just like, everywhere, you know, saying,
I'm going.
It's just, you know, colonialized. But, you know, okay. You know what I'm saying? That's where apartheid was at, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So they be like, but I'm going to still go there because I know a lot of people there. You know what I'm saying? But from what everybody that I've met on a tourist scale or just a moving around scale, they say Zanzibar is the best vacation spot for black people in the world.
I heard that shit's cracking. I heard Johannesburg is I heard Zimbabwe. No, maybe I did hear Zimbabwe. I just know I like how Zimbabwe sounds. I don't know if I heard that Zimbabwe was lit. I definitely heard about Zanzibar. I might be getting my Z's fucked up.
Zanzibar,
but I know,
sounds exotic already. Zanzibar, just by name.
A lot of this shit sounds exotic. Zimbabwe sounds exotic. Nigga, I was in Zimbabwe last week. Hey, come on, that shit.
Zimbabwe sounds local. That, like, you know what I'm saying? You got to really get down to the ground and the shit.
You got, you know some people. Like. Yeah, I was out there in Zimbabwe.
You know what I mean?
I don't even know if they call it
Congo.
The
you got to, you know what I'm saying? Congo, you got to be ready.
You need to have a connect.
Yeah,
a
real prepared.
Yeah. I feel like South Africa, you might be able to be all right out there. You know, you still, I feel like you need intel everywhere you go. But from what it seems as though, it seems like that might be a little bit more tourist friendly because it seems to be watered down a little bit.
No doubt.
Who knows? I'm talking out of my African ass at this moment. I don't know what the fuck. I ain't been to the continent yet. So,
got to do it.
Inshallah. what else, man? Nah, for real, I'm trying to get there. Steph Curry.
Heard of. Assalamu alaikum.
You know what I mean? Another shit. Hey, look. Steph Curry is out here making moves. I know we talk about LeBron, talk about Durant making moves on the EP side of things, TV game. But Steph Curry looked like he got a whole night on ABC.
What
he got? He got a new show called Holy Moly, which is a mini golf show. And I think right after that, Aisha Curry has a show. I'm not sure if she's EPing that or he's EPing that.
It's probably coming on the same production company.
And they got a little nice little hour. I think hers is like a cooking show.
Right.
But
yeah, they did a production deal.
Oh, like, you knew about this?
Yeah, I knew they did a deal. And then, you know, Kevin Durant got his little production deal. You know, LeBron, of course, got his. Kobe has his. That's like, you know what I'm saying?
It's a move. New sneaker.
That's a move. You know what I'm saying? That's a move. That's the new, instead of going into, you know what I'm saying, being a broadcaster after retirement, you go into production.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, why not? Why you got the name and the fame?
That's smart.
Because that's all it is getting people in front of the tube.
Holy moly, it's mini golf. I fuck with mini golf from afar. Like, every time I'm near some mini golf, like, if I'm pulling up somewhere, getting into a city, looking, typically it'll be close to, like, the hotel area. You're like, oh, they got mini golf. Like, you're in a resort. Oh, they got mini golf. I should fuck with the mini golf. I always say I'm going to do it, but I never get to it.
Yeah.
You know, because it's
That's for people who play games. You don't be playing no games.
I like to play little games every so often.
I don't be playing no games.
So you just above mini golf?
No, I ain't above it. I just don't play no games. Maybe I'm not fun.
I think that's what it is. I think it's dismissed. Like, it's silly. Something about mini golf is a little too silly.
I mean, as a kid, we had mini golf in Miami.
Okay.
Which was like right there, right across the North Miami Beach. They had a little mini golf. It just seemed corny. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it just seemed a little, you know how like sometimes you design some shit and it might have been designed and in this particular year, now it's 10 years later, and that shit look like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That shit look ashy. And it ain't, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I just never got into mini golf. I never saw the purpose.
I think we're on the same wavelength in the way that you see it. I think there's, well, you obviously were disappointed by it because you got close enough to where you like, this shit is dated. I'm not fucking with it. There's a lot of dated, that little windmill is mad. It's like Mousetrap. But it's one of them things that maybe it's one of those things that I only really see when I'm out in the world, when I'm on vacation. It's right. One of those vacation things where you're like, oh shit, if we get some time, it's like zip lining.
Right.
No, certain shit where you're like, so to see a whole show built around mini golf, you're like, all right, this maybe is going to be interesting.
It's going to pump up that culture.
Yeah, and they need it. They might have got paid to do that shit. Mini golf might have said,
But
we need your help, Steph.
But see, what I thought you was about to say about Steph was Steph just dropped a line of golf clubs in China. You know what I'm saying? So he probably working the whole circuit down. You know what I'm saying? He got the golf clubs, you know what I'm saying, all the way down to the mini golf. He'll probably open up his own mini golfs all over the world.
Right.
And people will go see it because it's fucking Steph. And you know what I mean?
And the crazy shit is I don't know nothing about Steph in golf before, but I guess –
It don't matter. You know his motherfucking name. He's a winner. You're going to check that shit out. He's a winner. We're here talking about this shit right now.
Man, that's interesting.
But see, for me, I guess playing them games, what happened to me playing games? I guess it was fucking just the era I came. Hip-hop was just coming around and fucking the crack era. Fucking it up for games. Because you had enough entertainment with hip-hop. And
cooking crack?
Not cooking crack, but just the lifestyle that happened during that era. Just being outside was entertaining enough.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
The electricity of the crack era.
Yeah, just all that was going on outside, just, you know what I'm saying, where I'm from, it was a lot happening. So you could entertain yourself very much so just by the Ave, the beach, and the little spot, wherever the spot is that night. And you had enough entertainment for a whole, you know, a lifetime. So you do that shit for 4 or 5 years.
So you saying that crack killed the mini golf business?
From my perspective, it killed my attention towards mini golf.
Okay.
We used to go to this spot called Grand Prix in Miami. They had mini golf there, but then they had the little go-karts, you know what I'm saying, where you're racing go-karts and shit. And that was cool. That was entertaining, video games, you know what I'm saying, the game room type shit. So you had the game room, the little go-karts.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just in between time. That's like after the club, you know what I'm saying, before the late night eating. Because it's open 24 hours, so we went there kind of late. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you go there, it's 1:30, 2 in the morning, fuck around to
drunk than a motherfucker.
To the real after spot kickoff.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I guess, you know what I'm saying? I grew up in a certain time frame where your attention was directed to something totally different than just, okay, we're going to put this little ball in the hole.
But you also grew up in an era where that was in the situation. So maybe that's why, because it was an option.
What was an option?
Mini golf and go-karts and shit like that. Like, it was an option after the club. There were no real, like, Miami, that's like a different vibe. There's, y'all got the beach. Y'all got mini golf. Y'all got 24-hour go-karts.
But all that shit was in very separate places.
Oh, okay.
So these are very far away places you had to go to do this. We only did it because we knew it was there and we could do it.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Because where we live, if you're going to a certain place, like it was a club called the Inferno, which was a little small club. It's old for older heads, but it was jumping. Mm-hmm. And they had a commercial on the radio that went every week. You know what I'm saying? The Inferno, hottest spot in town, party till you broke. So it's like cats a little older than us went to the Inferno, mm-hmm. but it was always jumping. You go there, all the famous drug dealers was there, all of the famous girls. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It mm-hmm. was like the place to be. So a lot of times, you know, you go ride up and see what's happening at the Inferno, you know what I'm saying, on the let out, because when you're in high school, they're not going to let you in, but you could play the let out.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so you always pass the Grand Prix on the way to the Inferno.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you go to Grand Prix just to waste time to the Inferno let out.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
It was in the mix.
Yeah, it was in. That's it, was, what I'm saying. It was along the way, but
right.
it was along a certain way. But the beach was 45 minutes right. this way. And then, you know what I'm saying, Jumbo's was another 35 minutes that okay. way. But we trying to hit all that shit, really, except the beach wasn't really popping yet.
Mm.
The beach was a later, you know what I'm saying, phenomenon.
That's interesting.
But, you know what I'm saying, I just think during that era, it was a lot. It took a lot of the youthfulness out of the culture. Because, you know what I'm saying, hip-hop was youthful, but it was still growner than...
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Your high school.
It was dangerous.
Yeah, it was dangerous. It was, you know what I'm saying? It was talking about real life stuff. Not, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. The kind of stuff that we should have been talking about.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So you playing up. You know what I mean? Even if like it's Big Daddy Kane, Rock M, you trying to be that. Mm-hmm. But you know what I'm saying? You still
a kid.
You still a kid.
Mm.
You trying to get the big dookie ropes and you know what I'm saying?
No
shit
time
like that.
For mini golf.
No time for mini golf. That shit didn't have no place in the culture. So, so you know, I think it took a little bit of the youthfulness out of growing up, but whatever. Hmm.
There you go.
Word up.
So what else is going on, man?
Man, shit.
What you got going on? What's cracking this week?
This week, man, I'm re-evaluating my position in business. Really, like I said, I'm under attack. You know what I'm saying? And my summer ain't coming out how I wanted it to come out. You know what I'm saying? How it usually comes out. Now, half of what I do ain't there no more. So now I had to figure out, am I going to chase, you know what I'm saying, a similar situation to replace that half, or am I going to do something totally brand new?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And my thing is, it's not that I had to do something totally brand new. It's how I have to do what I already said I've been had to do. You know what I mean? And that's, you know, you can't wait for work. You can't be mad that the work don't come to you, because my job in real time, in real life, my job is to create work. And if I'm not doing that, then I'm vulnerable. As long as I'm creating work, I don't have to worry about nobody taking work from me. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Because you creating that shit. So the thing is like, okay, the work ain't created yet. You know what I'm saying? You had this gap of, okay, once this is done, there's nothing else. You know what I'm saying? Do you have time to reinvest in creating new shit? You don't have, but in real life, you don't have no choice but to create that shit. But you got to create that shit fast enough to not fall apart before you fix it. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So you got to make something happen fast enough to be able to pay your bills, you know what I'm saying, and not fall off.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the challenge that I'm in right now as an entrepreneur is, all right, fuck it. This shit ain't turning out how I wanted to on this side. How do I just kill that shit and start something, not start something new, but create work in a new way.
A new lane.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the formula that I'm working on right now.
Mm.
And you know,
sound like Tyler Perry. You see Tyler Perry at the BET Awards?
Yeah,
he dropped the gem.
Yeah, he dropped gems. But see, the thing about Tyler Perry was he was already doing that before he even went to Hollywood.
Yeah, he had his own shit.
He already knew his system before Hollywood came to him. You know what I'm saying? So I respect that shit, and I know it. You know what I mean? I just ain't made a system as good as Tyler Perry shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
What you thinking? You got any ideas what you trying
man,
to do?
I'm not telling these niggas what I'm thinking.
You ain't going to tell nobody nothing?
Hell nah.
On the podcast? Hey,
I'm already at war.
You at war with the listeners? The listeners, I mean,
don't even know who the listeners are.
Oh, man.
The listeners might be the ops.
It could be an enemy. We do tell them to tell an enemy.
You know what I'm saying? Tell a friend and tell an enemy. Hey. Nah, but the thing is, it's just, it's really... creating these original ideas, and I'm moving more into a narrative, into a narrative space. So, I did a partnership with a DP by the name of Jamal Solomon, and we're creating this thing called The Beautiful Side. And within The Beautiful Side, we're gonna create a bunch of narrative, a series of narrative pieces that will, that should, and that will put us in a place, a position of strength. And going into the next place where I want to go.
All right, that's what's up.
Which is, you know, at a at the next level, the TVs, the film, the, you know what I'm saying, the high level streaming, long form content, put you in the same arena with, you know, everybody else, like the Lena Waithe and the Issa Rae and, you know what I'm saying, the, you know, Ryan Coogler's and shit. You know what I'm saying? I had a talk with my man Sean P.
Right.
Sean Peters a couple weeks ago. Sean Peters is a DP, a director of photography, that was, that is right hand with Terrence Nance, who's a director. So everything Terrence did, Sean P direct was a DP, and now both of them are at a high, at a great level. They're at a good place in life. Terrence is directing Space Jam 2. Sean is DPing on a bunch of, you know what I'm saying, Hulu shit and Netflix shit, and they do Random Acts of Flyness together.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So he was basically like, man, fuck all that, man. You gotta come on in. You gotta, you know, come into the program.
Right.
And it's like, damn, man, but I gotta learn this. And they're like, nah, you ain't gotta learn that. You just gotta drop some shit. You know what I'm saying? And then when you step back and look at it, that's all they did. They just dropped shit. They just dropped shit until the shit, till the system got aware of them. You know what I'm saying? So it inspired me to say, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to just drop shit. You know what I mean? And that's when we created The Beautiful Side, and we putting shit together to drop shit. You know what I'm saying? Because he's like, man, it's like we're here, but you family. You know what I'm saying? Which means you're connected to this already. You know what I'm saying? I've already worked with them. You know what I'm saying? Sean P was my DP. You know what I'm saying? I've shot for Terrence Nance 4 or 5 times. You know what I'm saying? So he right. So it just wakes you up. And it's like, you know what? It's like on the Clarence Avant, The Godfather documentary, Black Godfather on Netflix. He says, you either join the country club or you're a caddy. I ain't no motherfucking caddy. You just got to join the club where it's happening at the real space and stop playing on the outskirts. And
get in the community.
Yeah, you got to get into the real community, because either way you're going to fight fights. You know what I'm saying? And you rather fight the fight at the highest of levels than fight the fight, you know what I'm saying, on some shit that's, you know, man, like, damn, what am I really fighting for?
Right.
You know what I mean? Fighting for the right to do what?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That shit better mean something when, at the end of the equation.
I hear that shit.
So that's why I'm at with it, man. That's my life. I don't know, you know, if that was entertaining or not, but that's why I'm at.
The Beautiful Side.
Yeah, The Beautiful Side.
There you go, yeah, man. Of course it was entertaining, man.
Beautiful Side.
Niggas is 47 minutes in. If that shit, if it wasn't entertaining, they tuned out a long time ago. I think we good. Shit, what I'm talking about before we get out of here. What was the last dope narrative shit you saw since you getting into the narrative game? What was the last, besides Game of Thrones?
Man, I'm looking at this. I'm looking at this trailer that Lena Waithe just put out with Queen and Slim.
Yeah.
That shit look like, okay.
Yeah, with Melina Masukis, right? How you saying that last name? Melina, the director that does all the Insecure and Beyonce shit.
Yeah, so that shit look like it's gonna be something. That's inspiring. That's like, okay.
Yeah. I haven't seen the trailer. I saw the photo. It looked
like Black Bunny and Clyde.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's her first feature, I believe.
Is it?
Maybe not. I don't know. Dear White People. Dear White People.
She wrote on Dear White People.
Yeah, I'm tripping.
She done. She getting it, man.
Yeah, getting too.
That shit crazy. She like Master P of, you know what I'm saying, of TV.
So that, but what was the last dope narrative shit you saw? That you saw? That's coming out. What you see when you like, man, this is, this is the type of story I want to tell. Or I like the way they told this story.
Hmm. Of course the Thrones. You know what I'm saying? I can't recall. I can't recall because shit moves so fast. Especially when you're making your own shit, you kind of see some shit and you're tuning shit out to try to get to your own shit. But I can't recall. I don't know if I can answer that. Mm-hmm. But I do know that I got about 3-4 ideas in my head that I know I see as real.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I never really seen a project narrative project all the way. That's why I never did one, because it's like I see a piece of it, but now I'm starting to see it all the way to the end and how that shit go, ooh, that's a total full story. You know what I'm saying? I got a story that's a real life story that my roommate in college, is his granddaddy's story. There's something that happened to his granddaddy that we talked about it before in college, but then we talked about it again the other day, and I was like, that's it, dog. We gonna shoot that shit.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And because it's powerful, it's complex. You know what I'm saying? It's a very simple story and it's funny,
mm-hmm.
but it's complex in all of the things that go on, and it's gonna be a period piece shot in the Great Depression, 1935-ish.
Mm.
And that's one of the first things I'm gonna shoot.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's what's up. That's what's up. Yo, are you familiar with you fuck with Mac 10 Full Life, huh? You fuck with that record?
I mean, it was cool.
I was never a big Mac 10 fan. I was
an Ice Cube fan. Mac 10 was just a byproduct.
Yeah, I was a huge Ice Cube fan, but I didn't really fuck with Mac 10 for whatever reason. I don't remember what it was back in the day. I didn't really fuck with him. I didn't think he was lyrically fucking with Cube. You know what I'm saying? Mm-mm. It's two different artists or whatever. But anyway, long story short, I'm on Instagram. It's 2 Chainz Instagram. He's in some type of old school with Ty Dolla $ign. They mm-hmm. throwing the hydraulics on. They playing this crazy West Coast shit. They out there LA after mm-hmm. the BET Awards,
mm-hmm.
hitting switches and got the shit. And you could just hear like some real crazy West Coast shit. It just mm-hmm. fit the whole scene. And I was like, what kind of record is that? Is that some new shit? Is that some old shit? Just the way it dropped, it was mm-hmm. crazy. So then, cause he ain't say what it was. So I was like, is this some old, this might be some old LA shit, you know right. what I mean? They in the moment, they in LA, they celebratory, like you were saying, like at the African Chop House. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when a motherfucker, when people are in their moment, you know, sometimes you play the anthems, mm-hmm. you know? And I'm like, yo, what is this? So I'm going in the comments, and a pet peeve of mine, especially as an old head, as a nigga that's getting old in this game, if you know the information, this is the thing I hate. This is why information be moving so slow in the community. There's information shaming. When niggas don't know, niggas like, yo, simple shit. What record is that? These young motherfuckers don't know what record that is. First of all, I'm not a young motherfucker. I'm in need of the information as well.
Did you say what record is that?
No, I didn't even get that.
You just reading through.
I'm just reading through because I'm hoping somebody's going, but it went through at least 40...
Iterations of,
I'm not going to tell you, I know this information, but I'm going to withhold it till one motherfucker was like, you know what, that's some bullshit. That's such and such, such and such. And I was like, but then when the nigga gave me that shit, I put it on in my whip, and I was like, oh, this shit is fantastic.
What was it?
Mac 10 Full Life.
Oh, it's Full Life.
But that shit just hit her. I didn't grow up, I didn't fuck with Mac 10 like that too crazy. I mean, I knew that.
That was the hit, though.
Yeah, full but I think.
Full Life, Mac 10.
I might have missed
it. He was just real West Coast. That was the problem. Like that whole Dub C and Mac 10, that whole West Side Connect, that was decidedly all the way West.
They had that little, what's the little, they had the little funky worm. Yeah. That was in that genre.
Right.
But then I listened to the album. The nigga got nothing but the ill loops on the album. This motherfucker basically looped Reasons. And just rapped over Reasons. You know what I mean? So like, it ain't all the way West Coast. He definitely flipped the shit out of some Earth, Wind & Fire. Should have just called it the Mosey Wosey.
Right.
But shout out to Mac 10. It was one of the moments, man. And listen, if you sitting on information, stop withholding that. You know, niggas love to do, what you know about this shit here?
Right.
Fuck out of here. Boy, you don't know nothing about this. See, young motherfuckers don't know about, and that's why motherfuckers don't ask for the information. Right. Just give up the information,
I,
man.
I think people really do share the information. I see more than not. You going to get the answer to what your question is in the comments at some point.
I seen a lot of, you know, I'm a hold this over your
head. Yeah, I'm going to skip. Skip past them people.
Yeah.
You skip right past.
You're
going
to stay getting skipped past.
And then you get to the person that just dropped that shit out there. That's such and such. Oh, bet. Look it up. You know what I mean?
Keep it going.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if you got a whip, go listen to Fo Life.
Yeah, Mac 10, Fo Life.
Especially if you're on the West Coast, if you're on hip to it already, especially if you got some convertible shit that got switches on it, then it's ideal for you.
Yeah, that shit was real, real West. I remember when I first started going out to L.A., and then, you know, somebody put me with, you know, I was selling advertising, music ads, so they was like, you know what I'm saying, go check out Mad CJ Mac.
Mm-hmm.
He like decidedly West Coast Crip, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? All the way West.
Okay.
Mad CJ Mac. He had a couple of records with them cats.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went out to there and I met up with him. He had, you know, like a little compound somewhere in South Central. I don't know the neighborhood. Don't get me the line. Mm-hmm. I just got the address and went to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, you know, in the hood, but it got like, you know, about 2-3 houses in surrounded by a wall, and you know what I'm saying? He got a whole editing company. He did a documentary on Crip walking. Like, he got a whole system.
That's hard.
You know what I'm saying? It was like my first time really being inside of, like, the West Coast hustle, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Of trying to piece it all together, like, uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of them do. That was, you know what I'm saying? I hadn't even been to Death Row yet, you mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? And then they when you went in there, it's all the same shit. They all got these, like, they make it like a compound, like, you know what I'm saying? I guess the security issues.
It's a lot of compounds out there.
There's a lot of security issues. So they, you know what I'm saying, they try to keep shit, you know, contained.
Fortress.
Yeah, they keep it contained so they could defend it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like continents.
Yeah. Right,
you know
right,
what I'm
right,
saying?
Right, yeah.
War zones.
Right.
So, but being in that shit, you know what I'm saying, you actually saw how real, like, you know, where I'm from, Miami, nigga got a studio and shit, be in a house right. or at a studio,
right.
pull up.
There's no blockade.
Yeah, there's no blockade, gates, right. fences, and you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But it was just interesting to be in that mix and to see what they was doing. And I hadn't heard a lot of CJ Mac before I met him.
Uh-huh.
But after I met him, you know, I saw what he was doing. He's doing real, real West Coast shit. And I could respect that shit, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I can respect that shit because everybody got to do it based on their own territory and geography, which means a lot of different things to wherever you at. You
know what what's the CJ Mac song to go to?
I don't know the names of the songs.
Oh, wow. Well,
you just have to look up Mad CJ Mac.
Mad CJ Mac?
Mad CJ Mac.
Okay. Shout out to Mad CJ Mac.
I don't know what Mad mean in LA, but you know.
Oh,
what
it's M dot A dot D.
No, that's just Mad CJ Mac. I'm not sure if it's dots, but.
Oh, it's like the Mad Circle?
Mad Circle. You know what I'm saying? Mad City. There's a lot of mad going
city.
On the West Coast. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. But that's what he was, Mad CJ Mac. All
right.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, there you go. Tell the people where you're going to be this week, man.
Well, goddamn.
Yeah, tell the people.
Did you watch the BET Awards?
Oh, yeah. What you told you I watched the BET. Yeah, I watched the BET Awards.
What'd you think, man? What was the standout?
standout of the BET Awards. I liked, shout out to Regina Hall. I like that she, you know, I think she's very funny. Mm-hmm. So I like that she getting her shine. I like that she spoofed the Beyonce homecoming thing because mm-hmm. she was from D.C. And I don't know why they kept doing it. It was like a home going. It was this whole, she turned, I guess, the BET Awards into D.C.
Mm-hmm.
Like she brought out
Rare
Essence.
Yeah, because that's a whole thing going on in D.C. about Don't Mute D.C.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that, which I thought was super dope, where they played the go-go to, mm-hmm. to kind of shut the gentrifiers down and all of that shit. Like, mm-hmm. I saw that. I just didn't get outside the fact that she's from D.C. I didn't realize, I guess, that she's hosting it. The theme was everybody from D.C. that night, mm-hmm. I believe. So they did, like, the homecoming, but she did, like, home going, mm-hmm. and they shot it, looked like the Beyonce shit.
Right.
And she, like, y'all need to learn this song before such a, you know what I mean? Just fucking with the, making fun of the intensity of what the home going shit was.
Right.
That was funny, or homecoming shit was. That was funny. Who did I see that with?
The craziest shit I saw on that shit was motherfucking, well, who was it Offset doing the choreography? Who was doing one of the Migos doing the choreography?
Offset was dancing. Yeah, he did it. Like,
what the fuck is this bullshit?
You ain't like it?
You know, the Migos is my motherfuckers, but I don't want to see the Migos do a choreographed dancing.
They trying to get broad on
you. That ain't broad. Because he can't dance. And then he already have a beef with Chris Brown and shit.
Yeah, but I think he been trying to dance, because didn't he dance in that Walk It Like I Talk It record?
Man, I don't know.
He did that with the Drake. They did Soul Train shit, and it was,
yeah, that was people cool. were like, yo. One by one, but not as a choreographed group dance. Hey, like, man. Michael Jackson, I'm bad.
You know, man. Look, man, you nigga trying to spread his wings. Man. He used to dance. I think he danced in a Michael Jackson video or some shit like that. Check out,
you
like,
making that shit up.
Nah, go ahead. If y'all go on the people listening. Google Offset danced in somebody's video as a kid. I want to say it was a Michael Jackson video, some shit like that. So he got that in his heart.
I mean, Takeoff, you know, was disgusted.
Takeoff probably wanted to dance just as much.
Takeoff don't want to do shit. Takeoff don't even look like he want to rap with them niggas.
Nah, I saw. You know what's so funny? Because Takeoff is one, you know, the one that, you know, he's the last Migo, right? When you're the last Migo, you might often sometimes get cut off, or you're not on the record.
He the best Migo to me as far as
his
verses. His shit always come with that energy. Once you get to his part, it'd be like, okay.
That's my point. So when they were performing on the BET Awards, he had the last verse of their set, and he was spitting that shit like, nigga, this the only verse that matter.
Exactly.
You know, because sometimes when you got the last verse, you perform it like, I know y'all probably not even familiar with this
record
verse.
Off already.
Yeah, he spit that shit like, y'all niggas came for this shit. And I was like, all right. It made me even want to hear more Takeoff verses.
Takeoff, so when he come on the record, when Takeoff come on, you, that energy go up. Okay. You start to be like, okay.
So you fuck with Takeoff.
I fuck with Takeoff. Right. I'm just saying, he was looking like, man, y'all need to pull y'all shit together.
You don't want to see them out there dancing.
I don't want to see Offset doing no choreographed dancing like Janet Jackson and shit.
Choreographed dancing meaning with everybody
with
in
the whole shit. He like,
yeah. Well, they did a whole thing because they mixed it. It was him and Cardi. They flipped like they did there, and then they danced into each other's. You know, they a tandem now.
I understand they could do their little shit together. I like when she was, you know what I'm saying, dancing with him. But I don't want to see him with a group of choreographed dancers.
You're not for that. I feel like that's fucking the integrity of the trap up.
I mean, not that I'm vested in the trap, in they trap or whatever. I like the Migos, and I've said this from the beginning of this podcast.
Right.
So, you know what I'm saying?
You just don't like all that
choreography. That don't fit to me, and I don't like it.
Yeah, man.
And it's okay if they're going to do it. I just ain't got to watch it.
I like Mary's segment.
No doubt. Because
I'm of a certain age, but I like Mary's segment. One, because Mary, I like the fact that Mary said, you know, I am a living legend. Just let that shit be known. And no let doubt. It sit there. Let no y'all doubt. Take it how you want it, because no it's doubt. For real. I'm a living legend. Here. Took her shit, and then did at least a 10-minute set, brought out, who she brought out? She brought out Method Man. Did she bring out? Well, Diddy did the intro. Mm-hmm. Who else was she? Brought out Kim. You know, she took you through the hits.
Right.
You know what I mean? She reminded you, you know, of why she the queen of hip-hop and soul.
And I like that Rihanna was
the one to give it to her.
But also, I like that people really understood that she didn't have to do it. Like, when you see the banter on Twitter and shit like that, uh-huh. It's like, damn, oh, Rihanna's in the building? Oh, shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because she has ascended to a certain place.
Yeah.
But for her to still be in the culture and still recognize that she, you know what I'm saying, she's a part of this shit and to do shit like this. Well, she, you know, she got a house at LVMH and shit, and Fenty Beauty is doing whatever the fuck it's doing. She about to be on the $1 billion circuit.
Yeah.
She still touched down at the BET Awards, and you know what I'm saying, celebrate that shit like she's still in it.
For good reason. Shit, Mary's queen of hip-hop soul.
No doubt.
And it was real shit. And what I liked is when Mary came up, she was like, yo, I appreciate that you gave this to me because I'm inspired by you too. So it was a good.
Yeah, that's like, but, that's dope shit.
But on top of that, I hear the, you know, I feel like
here
this.
Here it comes.
This is where, it ain't even this. This is real talk. Like, I look at the BET Awards like Easter. for niggas that watch BET. You know how you go to the church that one time a year and you be like, oh, church. I'm gonna act like I be at church all the time. That's how the BET Awards be. I'll be like, oh, BET. I fuck with BET. Even though I watch Boomerang, I've been fucking with him.
Right.
But like, when you say Rihanna ain't even need to be there, the fact that she was but you know, when you get to a certain place,
they don't always show up to places like that.
Right. But that's my point. This shit is still around. It's still the BET Awards. This shit still celebrate. This is all. This is all we got. This is the, you know what I mean? Like, if we're gonna be honest,
this is all we got.
Right. So I'm happy that she showed up. I wish more motherfuckers would show up. You know what I'm saying? Like, cause it's still an honor. It's still the place to be. It's still, if you drive culture, celebrate your culture. Back to what we talk about the Chop House.
Right, but see.
Get caught up in that wave.
But you've been so used to cats get to a certain space and a certain level in the game.
And graduate out of the culture.
Out of it, you know what I'm saying? And then they're untouchable and unaffordable and you can't even, you know, get with them no more.
But the thing is, there's this resignation, like that's just the trajectory of things where it's like, that's fucked up that we were like, well, it's too late now. Yeah. Oh, look at Forbes. I guess we won't see him.
We won't see him again.
Right. And that's fucked up. That's a damn shame.
But that's how they've been doing it.
But that, what I'm saying is we can stop that. We need to stop that.
I think Rihanna is a great example of somebody who is at the pinnacle of the shit, the most. She's making the most money out of all the female singers and shit. She's on her way to be making the most money out of all these motherfuckers.
And she showed up.
And she still showed up. And I just like the way the people accepted it and the people, you know what I'm saying, let it be known that they recognized that she could have did other shit. Like Jay-Z said on one of his records, you could have been anywhere in the world, but you decided to be here with us.
Show love.
And that's, I think that's how the viewers view that shit. Like show if you love. Do the show, you're here with us.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And with Rihanna and her trajectory, she still understands that she got to touch down.
Got the base.
At the base to, you know what I'm saying, gather that energy.
Invigorate the base.
Exactly. Because she got makeup and clothes to sell and shit. You know what I'm saying? Man. And that's good shit that she understand that. Because a lot of people think, you know what I'm saying, they at that top. They ain't got to sell you nothing no more. It's all about selling the people at the whoever such and such awards and the, cause them the people.
And them awards be so and, whatever the fuck.
And that's what I'm saying is like, that's real shit that she understands that this is still the base.
Right.
Not over there.
At you the wishy-washy awards. Cause
that's how most of our heroes, they glow up and they go away.
Right.
You know what I mean? They glow and go.
We have the same conversation every BET Awards. We got the same addendum where we niggas need to show up.
But this time we got somebody to celebrate. So I salute Rihanna and you know what I'm saying, for keeping it 100 and showing up.
The Show It Up Awards.
The Show Up Awards, God damn it. It's your responsibility. If you blew up off us, nigga, you need to show up off us.
There you go. Ah, shit, man. Where you going to be at? Anywhere?
I'm going to be in Brooklyn fighting the fight, you know what I'm saying? And you know what I'm saying, creating new shit.
Right.
I'm gonna be on that Instagram at Mr. Muhammad, on Twitter at Mr. Muhammad. Yeah.
All right. I'm gonna be popping up all over. I got go to the website. I got the dates up, www.damianlemon.com. Go on my website because I'm out here. I'm gonna be all over. So I'm gonna be posting dates and shit like that. And until then, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation.
Yes, sir.
We are out.
All is to be in the conversation.